The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 10. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 10. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to the city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for we are in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each." So they did, and had them all sit down. Then he broke the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for having spoken to us. We thank you that your word is good, that your word is true, and that it is precisely what we need here and now this morning. Please help each of us to set our hearts to receive what is good, that we will learn, that we will understand, that we will apply these principles of your kingdom to eternal life, that people will know you and love you, and that you will be glorified as we seek your face. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at the crowds here, and we find the needs of the crowds, that they were pursuing Jesus to get something. Perhaps they were enjoying the teaching, and they found it helpful. Many, we see, were possessed. Many, we see, were sick and wounded. And as time goes on, we find that they were hungry and that they were in a tight spot. I'm inviting you to look at your own life again, and mainly your hearts, to look to see where you're sick. Maybe even areas where there is some possession taking place, where you don't have control over your own hearts. To look at the places where you need nourishment, and where you need care. We see here Christ's great concern for the people. He looks at them, he has compassion on them, and he welcomes them as they were following him, even when he himself had been moving away and taking just the disciples with him. He looks, he sees them, he has compassion, he has concern, he draws them to himself, and he begins speaking and healing, blessing, providing, even feeding them. At the right place in our lives, we see our own needs. We see our own brokenness. We see our own weaknesses. We see our actual hunger in our lives for those things that are right and good and true, those things that are truly needful. We come together this morning not as a people who are pulling off this righteous, good Christian life, but we come together this morning when we are thinking rightly, seeing our true needs, these needs within our own hearts, with an expectation that Jesus will see us, that he will have compassion on us, and that he will give us precisely what we need. So as we're coming together, and as you are here for the word to be preached this morning, I'm inviting you to look and see your own need. to be fed, to be strengthened, to be healed, that we will have the ability and the desire to run the race that He has given, and that we will care for those people in our lives who are also hungry, who are also broken, who also have need. Our first step, number one, is don't be stingy. Look with me at verses 12 through 13. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to Him, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." But He said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all of these people." We know that wasn't going to take place. They didn't have the provision in and of themselves to go buy enough food for 500 or 5,000 people, rather. I'm reminded of a time, and this doesn't happen so much anymore, but in my unbelieving times, I had a friend over, and they had brought their child with them, and the kid said, "I'm hungry." And I was a little put off, afraid of what was going to happen or be said next. And my friend looked at the child and asked, "Would you like some burritos?" And I had frozen burritos in the freezer, and an anger welled up in me. And I was fearful that this child was going to eat my food. And I thought, this is why animals eat their young. I wanted what was mine, and I didn't want to give it to anyone else. In our own lives, as we look at the needs of the people around us, there's a tendency for us to be stingy. There's a tendency not to give those things that are ours. Maybe it is our time. Maybe it is our food if we find ourselves in such a tight place. Maybe it's our money if we find ourselves in tight places. Or maybe we just have so much money, we just want to have more. There is a stinginess that Jesus Christ shows us really isn't appropriate. I don't know the hearts of the apostles here. Maybe they were just being extremely realistic at this point. Or maybe they were thinking, "I really want those 5 loaves, and I really want to keep those 2 fish, or I really don't want to spend any money to take care of these people." Well, we see the reality that what they had was going to be enough with Christ's provision. I'm inviting you to look at your week and look at your time and the ways that you spend your time. Now, maybe some of you are running so hard you really cannot give anymore. Maybe you've given of your time so much you really can't give anymore. If that's the case, God bless you, and we'll be moving forward to look at the ways that we're provided for and we're cared for and we're nurtured by Christ and how we can keep going. But if your time is about yourself, if your time is about caring just for yourself, if your food is about that, if your money is about that, you're going to have to take a look and readjust your life to see, are you loving other people, caring for other people? Maybe some of you don't think you have the options to do that. Little children in your home, you have the options to care for your parents. You have the options, maybe, to care for your siblings. In our own houses, we have those options. If not, if you don't have those options in your house, you have to look too and decide who your closest neighbors are. How can I love these people with what Christ has given me? Don't be stingy. Don't be selfish. Christ came and His footsteps have been made into a way. If we're following Christ, we will be living and loving like Christ. So our next step, number two, is give the people what Christ gives to you. Verse 13. But He said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all the people." There is the reality that you can't do it by yourself. You yourself have limited resources. You yourself have a limited amount of energy, a limited amount of money. You yourself will have limited amounts of food. But we see the ways that Christ works with the disciples here in verse 16. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. Now, this is one of those supernatural acts that I would love to have seen. And I wonder, did any of the disciples, when they realized, wait a second, the 5 loaves are definitely gone by now. The 2 fish are definitely gone by now. I think I would have been alongside Thomas and we would have been inching closer to look into the basket to see what is happening here. How is he pulling this off? Well, there is a reality in life that Christ Jesus has everything that we need. When we are actually running for him and giving for him. But they weren't working from their own baskets. They weren't performing some magic work on their own. What was happening was Jesus Christ was giving it to the disciples. He was giving them the food, and they then were able to give in return to other people. What are you being given from Christ? Now, the hopeful expectation, each of us would be able to say, a lot. Jesus is giving me a lot. And in what ways would we be hoping or expecting that he would be giving to us? The hope and the expectation is he is speaking into your heart. We're told in the scripture that when God gives the Holy Spirit, he overflows in our hearts to the point where it goes out and we are able to share it with others. I'm inviting you to look at your heart and check the fruit of your heart to see if the fruit of the Holy Spirit is there. Do you have a love that can overflow and you can actually love other people? Do you have a joy overflowing that you can give a joy to other people? Do you have a peace that's overflowing and you can give peace to other people because of who Christ is and what he has done and is doing in you? Now, if we don't have these things, we have to look and see. Am I going to him in order to be fed as if I expect him to speak to me and give to me? That is a beautiful place to be when we go with our daily Bible reading. Jesus, I am coming to meet with you. I am expecting you to speak to me. I am expecting you to bless me with love and with joy and with peace, that I will have these things in my own heart and that I will be able to give these things to others. Being fed by Christ in such a way that we have so much that it's overflowing onto the people around us, that they can be blessed with these things. So if it's food, if you have extra food, give it. If Jesus Christ is giving you beautiful doctrine, give it. If you have been given these things, give it. If it's time that you have, give it. Give time. But each of the things that we are giving is to be about the kingdom of heaven. And what is the kingdom of heaven about? Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're looking at living out the Christian life in the kingdom of God that looks like righteousness and peace and joy that's given by the Holy Spirit. This is what Christ gives to us, and he gives it abundantly. This is that abundant life that he offers. Now, I hope none of you are sitting and thinking, well, I don't have righteousness, and I don't have joy, and I don't have peace. I don't have any of these things. I can look at my life and I can see my lack of righteousness. I can look and I see my sin. I look at my life and I see my sorrow. I don't have joy. I look at my life and I see my anxiety. I've got no peace. I've got nothing to give. Maybe that's where you are. But none of you who are in Christ have to stay there. If you go to Him and you ask Him, expecting to receive, if you listen to Him, which looks like listening to the Word preached, it looks like diligently reading your Bible as if you are hungry and you're going to the kitchen and you are trying to find something to feed you, you will find it when you turn to the Scripture. Feed me. Give me righteousness. Feed me. Give me joy. Feed me. Give me peace. I promise you, as Christ promises you, when you seek Him with your whole heart, you will find Him. And this is the fruit of the Spirit that He gives. You will have righteousness. You will have joy. You will have peace. And you will not be in the place where you hoard it and hold it together and say, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Stay away from me. But it overflows to your closest neighbors. It overflows to your neighbors. It overflows in your life. And you are those people who have what others need. And they will be drawn to you as these people were drawn to Christ Jesus because they had need. And we are those people who are in that beautiful place that can say, I know what you're going through. I know about your injuries. I know about your sorrow. I know about your loss. I have had the same thing, and in fact, I even now am being healed. As Christ speaks to me in His Word, this is my joy. This is my peace. This is my righteousness. It is Christ Jesus. So our third step is to be filled with what Christ gives you. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God, this is Luke 17:20-21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. In what sense is the kingdom of God in your midst? There's another way to translate it. You could say, the kingdom of God is within you, is a way to say it. So we could take this, and it's right to say the kingdom of God is in your midst, congregation here. That Jesus Christ meets with us when we assemble together. It's also right for me to take any individual among you who is trusting in Christ, making a good profession of faith, and I can even then, at that point, say, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And point to your heart, meaning your soul. And what is the kingdom of God? What does it look like again? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's again from Romans 14:17. So being filled up with what Christ gives us, making that your priority. Now, that's going to look like how you're filling your free time. Some of us at a given moment when we think, okay, I've taken care of my necessary stuff. Now I've got an option to run to something for my mind or for my distraction. It could be in such a moment that we're just running to an aimless distraction. I've got a minute, I'm going to watch a video. I've got a minute, I'm going to play a game. I've got a minute that I'm going to pursue whatever my hobby might be. Or it could be, I've got a minute. I'm going to run to see my soul satisfied, cared for, blessed, filled with Christ. He's eager to meet with you. He's eager to fill you. There are times when we sit down at our dinner table, and I'm not exactly sure what Leslie's motivations are every time when she says, "Wait, I'll be dishing this out." It might just be so none of us take too much at the moment. So it goes far enough. I'll dish this out. And she has the pot, and she's got the ladle, and she's ready to dish it out. Jesus is like that. And it's not so that you don't take too much. He's eager to meet with you. It's about relationship for him. It's not you marching on your own. It's about being with him. When you're practicing righteousness, when you're thinking in terms of, I'm walking with Christ, it's a beautiful reality. If you're fighting your anxiety and you're coming to the place of peace and finding peace in the Scripture, it's not apart from Christ. It's actually walking with Christ. The righteousness, the peace, and walking in joy. It's not a walking away from Christ or having been fueled and just walking and doing your thing. It's all a walking with Christ. He is eager to dish it out for you. These elements are the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You are given beautiful things. Beautiful truth that grows, that blossoms, that's evident in your lives. First, to your closest neighbor. So as we look at now, giving what Christ gives to us, this kingdom of God, righteousness and peace and salvation, our fourth step is to move beyond mere words. James 2:15 through 17. We see the place of the actual need. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, even being in full-time ministry, there have been, I can only think of one time that we were dealing with someone and they didn't have another shirt to put on. And we had to go and look through and find some clothing to say, okay, here's something that you can wear while we wash your clothes for you. It's going to be an unusual situation. We don't find somebody and say, okay, you need a shirt. It usually doesn't happen. But how often in your life and in the ministry that you're living will you come across someone who's lacking righteousness or joy or peace? When we look at the world around us, that's the reality. Maybe the reality in your own house. It may be the reality with your actual closest neighbors. In fact, it is. All of us, everywhere, need righteousness and peace and joy. We could look at the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, the reality of how a husband is to love a wife, as washing her in the word, as Christ did for the church. There's a need of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. Your neighbors that live next to you, house next to your house, are they lacking righteousness? Are they lacking peace? Are they lacking joy? When we are pursuing Christ Jesus, we have these beautiful truths to present to one another. To give what Christ has given us, moving beyond mere words and into a representation or a demonstration of living faith. The end, again, of James 2, 15 through 17. If faith has no works, It is dead, being by itself. So, take this concept and see that the faith that's expected in us is not a dead faith. So, what would it be? It's not dead. It's alive. A living faith is that faith that is giving to other people what we ourselves have gotten from Christ. Righteousness, the righteousness Christ accomplishes. Peace, the peace Christ accomplishes. Joy, the joy that Christ accomplishes. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words. Power. Power. This evening we will be looking at the Lord's name and how we bear the Lord's name. Do you bear it? Do you represent the Lord's name as having power? Living it out in Christ Jesus. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words. It's not just our chatter. Just the things that we would throw out, cliches or platitudes. But it consists in power, in lives changed. First, our life changed in Christ. So our fifth step is pursue what you and everyone else needs. Romans 14:19. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace in the building up of one another. We see Jesus Christ and we see his power, his concern, his interest. He is powerful in relationship to you. He is concerned for your relationship with him. He is concerned about your joy. He's concerned about your peace. He's concerned about your healing. And he says, come and meet with me and let us deal with these things. We see that the people of the world need so much more than food. And you and I need so much more than food. Although it is oftentimes my top priority. How often have we had the experience when one meal is being consumed when we ask, what's next? I saw at the fellowship meal this past week one child who had his mouth stuffed full with sugar and still was holding a cupcake that was sealed shut, and he's eagerly pointing to his mother, would you open this thing, without even being able to speak because his mouth was still full at that moment. It's not a being cared for in those ways, being cared for with that food, but how wonderful would it be if we were that zealous and that gluttonous for righteousness. That zealous and that gluttonous for joy. That zealous and that gluttonous for righteousness. My mouth is still full with what you just gave me, but I want more. Open this up for me. Give me more. What a beautiful path to be walking. How full would we be? How much righteousness would we be manifesting? How much joy would we be manifesting? How much peace would we be manifesting? If we were filled and being filled in those ways, and we see that we have the freedom to give, and this is our sixth step as we embrace the reality, he'll give you more than enough. Verse 17, and they all ate and were satisfied. I think I would like that line just there. That would be a nice banner to put up, or that nice woodwork that people put up in a dining room, those things. Give us this day our daily bread, or, and maybe on the other wall or just under it. And they all ate and were satisfied. It's a beautiful place to be, having eaten and been satisfied in that place. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up 12 basketfuls. 12 baskets full. The disciples who didn't have enough to give. Just got 5 loaves. Just got 2 fish. Can't pull it off. Send these people away. And after they gave everything that they had 12 baskets full. You'll have enough. You'll have enough when you're being filled with Christ. What are we being filled with? Righteousness. And peace. And joy in the Holy Spirit. Get full. Get full. Be filled up. And give to everyone around you who has need. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you show us who you are, and that you show us what you will accomplish in our lives as we pursue you. Give us those hearts that are eager to eat and drink and to be filled. And give us those hearts that give what you have given us. Please bless us, God, in accordance with your word, that you will be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.